Welcome to Rambam on the Line, a project of Sichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the 11th chapter of Hilchas Ovil, the Laws of Mourning. This perek describes various connotations of the law of mourning, various holidays, and so too in the case of the 7 days of feasting after a wedding for the bride and groom. And the perek contains 8 halachas. Perek Achat Oseh, the 11th chapter, Halacha Aleph. In this halacha, the Rambam differentiates between Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of Pesach and Sukkot, and the day of the holiday itself. Afal pi she'ein avelus b'moed, even though mourning practices are not generally observed in the holiday, as the Rambam explained in yesterday's perek, and this applies both for the holiday itself and Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days, Kireya al Mesei b'moed, nevertheless, one tears the clothing, tears kriya for the death of a relative in the holiday, v'chelet k'seifei, and so too uncovers his shoulder, which as the Rambam explained previously in Perek Ches, there was a mourning custom of exposing the shoulder and the arm as a sign of mourning. So too, umavrin es avelim lechem b'moed, the sudas havara, the first meal, since the mourner should not prepare food for him or herself, but rather be served the food by others, the Sudas Havra is also given to the mourner in the Yom Tov. However, Kol Eilu B'chol HaShomayit, this only applies to Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days. Avol B'Yom Tov, but for the Yom Tov itself, Afilu B'Yom Tov Sheni, even should it be the second day of Yom Tov, which is only by rabbinic decree, these practices are not followed. Ein Teirin, Le'i Chelsin, V'Le'i Mavrin. One does not tear the clothing, one does not uncover the shoulder and arm, and one does not serve the Sudas Havra, the first meal served by the relatives. Only in Chol HaMoed are these practices observed. Other mourning practices, as the Rambam mentioned in the previous perek, however, are not observed, even in Chol HaMoed. Halacha Beis. Ein kedem b'moed b'lecholtzin ela akrevim shechayovim b'ovel. One does not tear kriya on Chol HaMoed. Moed over here, the Rambam, as we learned in Halacha Aleph, is referring to Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days. So one does not tear the clothing on Chol HaMoed or uncover the shoulder, except for relatives which he is required to mourn for. This comes to exclude others who he is tearing the clothing, tearing kriya for only for the purposes of covet, to show respect for the deceased. The only time one is allowed to tear kriya in the Chol HaMoed is for someone that he is required halachically to tear kriya for. Or someone that tears the clothing and uncovers the shoulder for a sage, for a chacham, or on a person who is kosher, which, as the Rambam explained, in the 9th perek, someone that is not suspected of doing any sin or of ignoring any mitzvah. For these people, one tears kriya for just as for a relative. Or someone that is standing at the time of death. When the neshama leaves the body, those present tear the clothing, tear kriya, as the Rambam has mentioned previously in Perek Tes. Although, as we mentioned there, the custom is not to do so today. And one gives the meal of Havra to all of the people, to everyone present upon the death of a chacham in the Chol HaMoed, and it's done in a regular fashion, the rechava, in the middle of the marketplace, in public, just as one is done to give the Sudas Havra to all mourners. Shakol Aveilim Alav, because as far as the sage is concerned, everybody is mourning for him. So just as you would give this meal, Sudas Havra, to the one that is mourning, so too here, you give the Sudas Havra to everyone, since everyone is mourning for the Chacham. And even though it is Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, it is given in the middle of the public place, in the Rechava, where everybody is present. Although it is Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, this public sign of mourning is observed. Halacha Gimel. In this halacha, the Rambam further enunciates which mourning practices are observed in the Chol HaMoed and which mourning practices are not. When one gives the Sudas Havra, the comforting meal to the mourner in Chol HaMoed, the meal is served when people are sitting on beds, the mites, or the chairs, which are right side up. unlike regularly during the Shiva period, when it is during a regular weekday, not during Chol HaMoed, when the mitzvahs are turned upside down, this Sudas Avodah takes place when the mitzvahs are right side up. So too, the Ein Eimrim Birkas Avelim B'Moed. One does not say the special blessing which is said to mourners in Chol HaMoed. As explained in the Gemara, that when they came back from the Levaya, and all of them were standing in the middle of the marketplace in the Rechais, there would be one person who would say the special bracha, Bal Nechomich and Achim Eschen, that the master of all comfort should comfort you, and say, Baruch Menachem Avelim, blessed be the one who comforts the mourners. This blessing is not said when the burial takes place on Chol HaMoed. However, other mourning practices are observed. Avol Eimdim B'Shura, people stand in a line, which is that Rambam explains in Perek Yud Gimel of these halachas, that upon coming back from the cemetery, people stood in various rows to comfort the mourners. U'menachemim, they comfort, u'peitri, and then they go back to their homes. Since it's Chol HaMoed, instead of going to the house of the mourner, they go back to their own home. They do not leave this mita, meaning the cot, which they used to use to carry the deceased to the graveyard. One does not put it down in the middle of the street, in order not to encourage people to give funeral orations, eulogies. Because on Chol HaMoed, one is forbidden from making eulogies and from fasting. So not only is the eulogy itself prohibited, but anything which might lead people to say eulogy also is prohibited, such as putting down the body in the middle of the street. One cannot literally gather the bones of one's father and mother in Chol HaMoed. That the custom was, as we've discussed previously in these halachas, that the body would be buried in one place until the flesh decayed and nothing was left but the bones. At that point, the grave would be dug up and the bones would be moved to the family cemetery. This is called Likut HaTzomes. And the law is Sha'evel Hulei, that day when the bones are moved is also considered like a day of mourning, and mourning practices must be observed. For that reason, one cannot gather together the bones of one's father and mother on that day, on Chol HaMoed. Same sort of way, and certainly for other relatives, which one does not have the same requirements of honoring them and bringing them back to their proper eternal resting place, certainly one is not allowed to move them. The Kainim must speed in the Sameis, Bahanago, Bapurim, Beleberosha Chadoshim, and so too one cannot make a eulogy on Hanukkah Purim or Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month. Abu Meigim Bahem called Divri Avelus. One, however, observes all mourning practices on these days. This applies certainly to things which are betzina, which are done in private, which are observed even on Shabbos. However, the Rambam says, without indicating or differentiating between private things and public things. When it comes to things which are b'parhesia, there is a great discussion on this among the poskim. And there are more rules and says that the custom is that on Purim, for example, one does not observe public mourning practices. One is allowed to say a funeral oration, a eulogy, before and after Hanukkah and Purim. Although it says in the Megillah Tainis that not only the days themselves, one is not allowed to make a eulogy or fast, and also the day before and after. The Gemara says that both the Megillah Tainis, that we no longer hold of all of the fasts which are indicated in Megillah Tainis, and although Hanukkah and Purim, Lei Batlu, have not become nullified, nevertheless, that's only the day themselves, and not the days which are before and after. Halacha Dalet. In this halacha, as well as halacha Hey, the Rama will describe various mourning practices that at the times of the Talmud, they would have women who would be hired, actually, as professional mourners who would do various acts in order to inspire a deeper feeling of mourning and grief over the passing of the deceased. There would be inoy, that they would cry out or moan, and there would be kina, that one would speak out and the others would answer, which is a deeper form, inspiring more grief. And then there would be those that are metapcheis, who clap their hands one to another in a certain way, all of which were done in order to inspire and deepen the feeling of mourning. Now these have some cases in which they are allowed, and some cases in which they were not allowed, according to what time of the year it is. And this that Amar will now discuss. Halacha Dalet. Anoshim b'mayed ma'anes avoloi metabcheis. Women are allowed to be ma'anes in cholamayed, meaning that all of them, this is the least of the three, the lowest degree of mourning of the three to be ma'anes, that they are allowed all to moan at once. However, they are not allowed to do the greater degree of mourning of metabcheis, to clasp their hands together in grief. However, uberosha chadashim, ubechanako, bepurim, on these days, the first day of the month, and Chanukah and Purim, which are not as strict as Chol HaMoed, ma'aneh u metabcheis. They're not only allowed to be ma'aneh to all moan at once, but they also, one allows them to clasp their hands together in grief. Aval ein mekeinenes, lebozeh, aval lebozeh. But one is not allowed to have them moan in a form of tina, which the Rambam will describe in Halacha Hey, that is a more severe form of grief, of mourning, and therefore they are not allowed either on Chol HaMoed or the other category of Rosh Chodesh Chanukah Purim. And Mikvah Ameis, once a person is buried, Leima Anes V'Leim Metabcheis, does not allow them to do any of these practices, certainly not Mekainenes, but not Ma'anes and not Metabcheis, once the person is buried, they are all forbidden. Halacha Hey, Ezehu Inui, what is this inoy exactly? Shekulam einis ta'achas. All of them answer at once. All of them raise their voice and cry out in the form of kina. What is the kina itself? Kina. Sha'achas emedes v'kulam einis achra'a. That one of the women says, and the others all answer after her. How do we know that this is a kina? Sha'namar. It says, Miram Yahu. Perektes. Pasuk Yutes. When he's warning the Jewish people that they must do tshuva, otherwise Hashem will bring suffering upon them. He warns them, "V'lam neidna b'neisechem nehi," that you should teach your daughters to moan, to cry, and mourn. The isha ru'usa kina, and one woman should teach her neighbor the idea of kina. And we see by kina that it says isha and ru'usa, that there is one to the other, implying that in the case of kina, there are several parties involved. Now the second part of this halacha seems to apply more to halacha gimel than these last two halachas, halacha dalet and hey. But it seems to restructure all of the mourning practices and qualify that everything we discussed up to now is speaking about someone other than a Talmud Chacham. All of these restrictions apply only to someone else. But when do all these restrictions apply? The shad ha'am shemesu. Other people that pass away. Avol Talmud Chacham Shemeis. It should be a Torah scholar that passes away. Saved in Eisiv Amayit. One is allowed to make a hesped, a funeral oration, a eulogy, not only Chanukah and Purim, but even on Chol HaMoed. Ein Torah Chweimer b'Chanukah b'Purim b'Rosh HaChodoshim. We don't even need to say that one is allowed to make the eulogy on Chanukah Purim and Rosh Chodesh. Avolay b'Yom Tov Sheni. But one is not allowed, even for a Talmud Chacham, to give a eulogy on Yom Tov, even Yom Tov Sheni. Same safety, and now even in the hesped, which one is allowed to give a Talmud Chacham, there are also certain restrictions. Same safety and Eitzei B'yomim Elu Ela Bafana. On these days, one is only allowed to eulogize him should he be before the burial, when he is Lafanov. But Nikbar, once he is buried, Asur in the hesped, one is not allowed to eulogize him. Furthermore, the Yom Shmuasei, the day that one becomes notified of his passing, Kibafanavu, that very day, it is considered as if the dead body has not yet been buried. The safety and I say, Afo Pisha Racheka, and one is allowed to eulogize the deceased, even though it might be a Shmua Racheka, that it happened more than 30 days ago that the person was deceased. Nevertheless, since the grief itself so intensely on the day that one was notified, one is allowed to give a hesped on such a day. Until now, we've been discussing the idea of hesped of a eulogy. There is also a concept called irur, and as explained in Talmud Yerushalmi, the difference is that a hesped, a funeral oration, is done for one individual, whereas irur mentions this person among many others. Halach above. Leisa eir isha al neitshala shleishin yein kedem lachat. One should not do irur to a woman regarding her relatives when she is mourning, has once mourned for, within 30 days of a holiday. Today, in order that the holiday should not come in and they are still in a worried, depressed mood as a result of having heard this, the description of their dead person and have all of their mourning and their suffering renewed within. And the reason for the 30-day period is that the deceased is not forgotten in the feelings for 30 days. Therefore, before 30 days, one would have a chance to have this feeling leave the heart before the holiday. However, should it be within 30 days, the person will enter the Yom Tov having a feeling of depression. But the medvarim amurim b'meis yoshen. When does this apply? Only someone that has died a long time ago, more than 30 days ago. However, if the person passed away within 30 days before the Yom Tov, in that case, you can make the Irur. But since in any case, the person passed away less than 30 days ago, there is still this feeling in the heart no matter what. And therefore, the Irur is not going to ruin the Yom Tov. She already has this feeling in the Yom Tov, since the death was within 30 days. Therefore, one is allowed to be ma'ered should the death have occurred within 30 days. Halacha Zayim. In these last two halachas of the Perek, the Rambam discusses mourning practices relating to a bride and groom. The 7 days of feasting after the wedding are considered like a holiday, like a regular Yom Tov. Someone who has a relative pass away in the middle of the Sheva Brachas, the 7 days after they're married, afilu avi v'ima, even the mother and father, mashlim shivas yimei simcha, v'achar kach meik shivas yimei velus. They complete the 7 days of rejoicing and only afterwards sit the 7 days of Shiva, just as with a Yom Tov. However, there is one difference discussed here between the Yom Tov and the 7 days of Sheva Brachas. The beginning of counting the 30 days, it first begins after the Sheva Brachas has finished. In other words, you begin counting the Shiva after the Sheva Brachas has finished, and you begin counting the Shleishim from that same day. Previously, we learned in Perek Yud, that when it comes to a Yom Tov, that although one must wait to start the Shiva until after the Yom Tov, nevertheless the Shleishim starts from the day of the burial, the day of the Kvura. Why over here is there this difference? This is the question that Ivan asks on the Rambam. Why should we start the Shleishim only after the Sheva Brachas? The Ramban, however, answered this question and has brought Malacha by the Poskim that there is a big difference. When we speak of a Yom Tov itself, there are certain mourning practices, or at least certain acts, which are also mourning practices, which are forbidden on Yom Tov as well as during the Shleishim. For example, getting a haircut or ironing clothing, things of this sort, are prohibited during the Yom Tov and prohibited during the Avelus, so during the Shleishim. And therefore, it is considered as if, since the person did some of these practices, even in the middle of the holiday, it is considered as if they began the Shleishim then, and one can begin counting at that point. However, this is unlike the case of Sheva Brachas. And in the middle of Sheva Brachas, they are allowed to get haircuts and iron clothing and so on. So since no mourning practices whatsoever were observed, therefore we cannot start the count of Shleishim from the middle of the Sheva Brachas. We must wait until the Sheva Brachas are completed. Another question is also asked by the Radvaz, that since, according to the Rambam, the first day of mourning is by Torah law, as Midianaita, how can we take a rabbinic practice of Sheva Brachas and use that to uproot a law of Midianaita mourning the first day, and say that there is no law of mourning in the middle of Sheva Brachas? And the Radvaz brings the answer of the Ran in Ksubas, that the sages have the power to override even a law midiraisa by telling you not to do something, shava al tasim, to tell you to do something to nullify this, to make a positive act, such a thing the chachamim cannot do. But to tell you to sit and do nothing and automatically come to nullify a Torah law, this they have the power to do. So therefore they will tell you, instead of doing positive actions which are involved in the shiva, they just tell you to ignore it altogether and to keep going through your shiva bracha. That Advaz adds that according to this reasoning, one would not be allowed to do positive acts of simcha, because that would be doing a kum ba'aseh, a positive act which is nullifying the Torah requirement of mourning, according to the Rambam. But Advaz gives another answer and says that over here the sages are not nullifying the mourning practices, they are merely pushing it off. And since they are delaying it until after the Sheva Brachas, one is even allowed to participate in acts of simcha during the Sheva Brachas. And when it comes to halacha, this is of primarily academic importance, since the majority of poskim decide against the Rambam that even the first day is also only by rabbinic law. There is therefore no question about this conflict, so to speak, between the first day of mourning and the Sheva Brachos, since both of them are by rabbinic decree. From what we understand up to this point, if the chuppah has already taken place, then one first observes the 7 days of rejoicing, the Sheva Brachos, and only afterwards the Shiva. Whereas if it's before the chuppah, first come the 7 days of mourning, the Shiva, and only afterwards the marriage and the Sheva Brachos. Here in the final halacha that Rambam will describe a case in which even before the marriage has actually taken place, nevertheless, we still observe the Sheva, we have the marriage and the Sheva Brachos first. Halacha Ches. Heichin kol tzarcha asuda. Let's say all the preparations for the meal were made. Va'ofa pitei v'tovach tivchei. And they already baked the bread and slaughtered the meat, kadeshi konsul l'simcha, in order to make the joyous celebration after the wedding. However, either the bride or the groom, one of the relatives, died before they can make the simcha. So now we see, can the meal be saved or not? If water was not placed on top of the meat, evidently the meat was first washed, and after that it is impossible to resell the meat, it must be used. Should water have been placed on the meat, and therefore it is impossible to sell it, Mecher HaBosar V'Pas, one sells, since the water has not been put on, and it is possible to sell it, Mecher HaBosar V'Pas, one sells the meat and sells the bread, V'Neig Shivas Yemei Avelut, and one sits Shiva, the 7 days of mourning, V'Achakach Neig Shivas Yemei Anishta, and afterwards, keeps the marriage takes place and the 7 days of rejoicing follow. However, if, however, water has already been placed on the meat, and therefore it is impossible to resell it, they bring the dead person, the deceased, into a room, meaning they hold him there and do not bury him. Because if he is buried, then immediately the mourning practices must be observed. So therefore they set him aside, that the host and the zakaro lechupa, and they bring the bride and groom to the wedding canopy, and they marry, ubeil beilas mitzvah, and they have now their relations for the first time, known as beilas mitzvah, upeidish, and afterwards he separates from her. Even should there not be any other halachic problems regarding their uniting together and having relations, because in the morning they must separate. In other words, after they have already been married and they have the bialis mitzvah, then the deceased is buried, and automatically the mourning practices, which are done but seen or done in private, take effect, as the law is in Shabbos, as the Rambam explained in Perek Yud and previous Prokim, that on Shabbos, although public mourning practices are not observed, those things in private are observed. So although the regular Shiva is not observed, those things in private are observed. So therefore he is paid her, she separates from her. V'neig Shivas Yemei Amishta, they have the 7 days of rejoicing, the Sheva Brachas. V'achakach Neig Shivas Yemei Avelut, and afterwards come the 7 days of mourning, the Shiva. V'kol Eisem Ayomim Neig Badvarim Shebetzina Kashabes. And all of these days, the 7 days of feasting, one must keep the private mourning practices just as is done on Shabbos. Therefore he sleeps in the presence of the men, and she sleeps together with the women, in order that they should not come to have marital relations together. So too, one does not withhold any jewelry from the bride the first 30 days of the marriage. Although we might think that because of the mourning she should not have such jewelry, in order that her husband should grow to love her, and that she should not become despised in his eyes. She is allowed to have all of these jewelry for the 30 days. Let's say, the Rambam tells you that the deciding fact over here is not whether you literally put water on the meat or not. Over here we go, not after the act, we go behind the reasoning. Is it possible or impossible to resell this food? Let's say, if you're in a place where it would be possible to sell the meat, even though water was already put on the meat, in that case, meicher v'neig avelus tchila. You sell the meat and then keep the mourning practices first. In other words, although normally when one puts the water on the meat, it cannot be resold, and therefore you make the chuppah first. since in this place you could sell the meat, one sells the meat and makes a funeral first and observes the Shiva first. Let's say the converse takes place. Hoyu b'makom she'ef shalim karabaser afal pi shalim natan olot ma'im. If one was in a place that it is impossible to resell the meat, although water has not been put upon it, then we go after that reasoning. Since one cannot sell the meat, make shivas yemei mishta p'chila. One keeps the 7 days of feasting first, and only afterwards the shiva, the 7 days of mourning. And now the Rambam gives a big qualification on all of this. When does this apply? That we have certain cases in which one first can make the chuppah and the 7 days of rejoicing, the shevet brachas. This only applies kishem neid aviv shel chosin or ima shel kala, when it was the groom's father or the bride's mother that passed away. What is different about the groom's father and the bride's mother? If this meal is lost, then there is no one else that's going to take care of them. That is mainly the father of the groom that takes care of him, and the mother of the bride which takes care of her. However, if it was the bride's father, or the groom's mother, or some other relative, in these cases, one does not have to worry. There is still someone to take care. It was only the bride's father that died, and the mother can always take care of her. Or it was the groom's mother that died, his father can take care of him. And therefore, Neigim Shiva Simeha Evo Tchila. First, the 7 days of mourning are observed, the Shiva. The Achakach Tikonet Lachupa Vyina Goshiva Simeha Nishta. And only afterwards do they make Tachupa, the bridal canopy, and observe the 7 days of feasting for the Sheva Brachas. Thank you for tuning in to Rambam on the Line of Pratsy with Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor a parak, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for Perek Shnei Otzer.